This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. You can learn more online at rutherford.org, and he joins us live in studio. You are literally direct from an event at the 2009 Virginia Festival of the Book. Is that right?
That's right.
Congratulations. How'd it go?
Went well.
It was over at UVA, right?
Yeah, UVA, the Harrison Building.
Oh,
library.
Yeah, nice place.
Nice room.
They did that well, didn't they?
Yeah, they spent a lot of taxpayers' money, but it was nice.
For folks who don't know, that is it's the new Special Collections Library, the Harrison Institute.
Yeah, very nice.
It's all underground, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful space.
Great Edgar Allan Poe exhibit right now.
I
got a little early and looked at that.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I heard about that. They pulled out all the Poe stuff. They had letters. And
great.
Is it really?
They even got the Sgt. Pepper album on display.
Why is that?
Because he's on the cover of that.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Is he one of those people in there?
Yes. It was hilarious. I laughed. I thought, that's so funny. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I didn't know he was in that. Were they Poe fans?
Well, I don't know. Beatles? They're Poe fans. Probably. Yeah, the Dark Side. I mean, probably John Lennon picked him. They all picked the characters they wanted on the cover. But yeah. He ended up on it. Bob Dylan, a whole bunch of other folks. But, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. That's one of the exhibits is a Sgt. Pepper's album of the Beatles. So.
We have compliments of the Rutherford Institute, rutherford.org. We have Do You Know the Bill of Rights? A complete guide to the Bill of Rights. It's a handy little pamphlet, and we've got one for anybody that calls us up right now. If you want a free one, just give me a call, 977-1070. Your complete guide to the Bill of Rights. Know your rights right here. Compliments of the Rutherford Institute. If you want one right now, I got one for you, 977-1070. Just give me a call. Give your name to Leon, and we will hold one for you. Come on up to the radio station, and you pick one up. You've gotten a good reception to this. A lot of folks like that. Leon, go ahead.
We passed them out. I just did the book event. People were taking that I just spoke at. People were taking four or five at a copy. I was giving them away free. But
yeah.
Yeah, some of the schools are using them locally. That's good. It's just a small pamphlet. It's got pictures in it for those who like cartoons, but it really explains the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, 462 words, and folks, you better read them because you're probably going to have to use them if you want to get out there and change this country.
Is there any one you got a favorite on the list?
The two most important, but, you know, again, that's difficult to say. I think the Fourth Amendment is...
That's like pick your children. Which one do you like the best?
Which one is probably the one, if they violate it, they would take all your rights? Probably the Fourth Amendment.
The
one that protects against unreasonable...
Unlawful search and seizure, yeah.
Exactly, because, like I say, and the First Amendment is really, really key, of course, but if they can pick you up in the middle of the night, then the freedom of expression doesn't have a lot of weight. But I think the key is the First Amendment gives you the freedom to get out there and assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances, do your freedom of speech. That's what we need to do now before we get to a point where someone might pick you up in the middle of the night and you wouldn't have those rights. So the First Amendment really comes first, and that's why it's called the First Amendment. You got to exercise that.
Yeah, yeah. This stuff is as healthy as the extent to which you exercise it, right? I mean, if you just leave it sitting in the corner and forget it's there, the government's not going to remind you.
People say, how can I help the country? And I go, help yourself. I mean, read the 462 words. Make the schools here teach it really clearly. I mean, kids are graduating from high school. They don't know what's in the First Amendment anymore. So, and your average American doesn't know that. I talked about that today.
Yeah.
They just did a poll of the elected politicians, a big cross-section across the country. Most of them don't even know what's in the First Amendment. They thought that the president had the right under the Constitution to declare war. I mean, he doesn't. You know, that's Congress's right.
Yeah.
So they don't even know what's in it. And then they take an oath to support and uphold and defend the Constitution. How can you do that? So I think a lot of people want to know, how can I act? How can I change things? Well, it has to start with the Bill of Rights, because that's where you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And exercise,
yeah.
Teach it to your kid. If the schools are not going to do it, I'd say get this little pamphlet and just, it's free. read it to your kids. They'll love the cartoons in it because it's designed for younger people and older adults who like cartoons.
Let's do that. Can I ask you to read the First Amendment as long as we're talking about it?
Yeah, the First Amendment says very clearly, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, folks.
That is jam-packed, isn't it?
That's your peaceful war manual right there. Yeah, that's how you change things.
Your peaceful war manual. You need look no further than the First Amendment to get started.
We have to keep those rights alive. And I've, in fact, I'm actually working on a new book now. It's on how we're losing our rights to the right to freedom of expression in this country. It is to me, that is what we're fighting right now. That's going to go first, and then everything else is going to go. So we have to get out there and fight back. And the way you can do it is get your picket sign or go down to City Hall and speak up, folks.
We're talking with John Whitehead, CEO and founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. He's also the author of his most recent book, is the Change Manifesto. And that's what you were talking about today over at the book festival, right?
Right. Yes.
And we want to talk about that in detail, your message for folks, the message in that book and the message you shared this afternoon at the Virginia Festival of the Book. What I hear was a packed house, folks turning out to see and hear from you. And we will do that after this break for local news and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now. His latest book is The Change Manifesto. He's online at rutherford.org. John Whitehead, a good friend of this program and a regular guest for a long time. He joins us live in studio. He is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. And this afternoon, you may have seen him live at the University of Virginia, where he spoke to a packed house as a part of the Virginia Festival of the Book. John, what is the message that you shared with the folks over there today?
Well, it was the current state of our democracy was the title of the seminar. And so my feeling is the current state of our democracy is not very good. So I went through some basic troubling areas that I see that are still the carryover, for example, of the Bush policies. Generally, Obama is endorsing a lot of those. And there's been a lot of concern from the ACLU. Anthony Romero, the executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, they're all really concerned now. I remember when he first came into office, Obama, and they were all these civil liberty groups were gushing. So I wrote a commentary called The Danger of Obama. It wasn't negative about Obama. What I said was, don't hug the guy yet, see what he's going to do, because you never know. But although I said there's great promise in Obama, a month later they were all going, great concern. And so there is concern there. I think that he's only been in 60 days. We have to give the man a while. He inherited an unbelievably awesome bad mess from George Bush. So
he ain't going to clean it up in 60 days.
He's not going to clean it up in 60 days. No, but like Bob Dylan said, it doesn't take a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. In terms of civil liberties, it looks like he's not going to do an about-face on the Bush policies. And the New York Times just wrote an article clearly stating that. They've studied the issue. So I think that Bush put into place a awesome tool box of tools for any president to use imperial power. They all still exist, the right to declare martial law, all the things, to listen to your emails. And I went into the fact that we live in a surveillance state. You can read this online. James Bamford, who's written a new book, he's done a lot of work on the National Security Agency. He's discovered this new program that NSA has. These are the folks that listen in on our phone calls. They've been doing it since the 1960s. And if you remember, Bush got caught doing it illegally. They have this new computer system called Acquaint. What it does is it scans all Facebook, internet sites, collects all the information and feeds it into a central computer, and they analyze to see what people are thinking and saying. And now it's going to be able, they think, to ascertain and predict people's thoughts before you act. In other words, they'll study things that I write, for example, or people say or do on the internet or on Facebook, wherever, even your phone calls. They'll try to predict whether or not you commit a crime, you're going to do this. You might be wanting to carry a sign tomorrow. They don't want you to do that. It's very similar to Steven Spielberg's film Minority Report.
Yeah, yeah. You
know that, where they try to predict the crime before it happened. That's exactly what they're doing. The interesting thing is that several high-level researchers resigned over this program, stating that they made a public statement. They said that governments should not have this kind of power. It scared them, you know, it frightened them. So, you know, the Fourth Amendment protects us against that. And
The very thing that they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we have a government that's set up such that the powers that be won't be allowed to do what the powers that be are doing right now.
Unreasonable search and seizure. And they have to have a reasonable suspicion to listen on your phone calls or see what you're doing. The government, okay? The government has to have a reasonable suspicion that there's some kind of criminal activity afoot.
Just trolling.
They're trolling.
Yeah.
But this computer system will collect all this information. So they'll have a file on anything you write, phone calls. That's going to happen. It's moving forward under the Obama administration.
Now, John, what do you say? We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. What is your response to people who might be listening who are thinking, you know, they might be doing this, but I know they're not listening to me because I'm not from the Middle East. I'm not a commie liberal. I've never held a sign at a rally. So as long as they're looking for those folks, I'm okay with that.
Well, again, if you go back and study the history of America from the McCarthy era on, okay, the government's done a lot of bad things. Under the Nixon administration, they were listening on Martin Luther King's phone calls. I mean, excuse me, under the, I'm sorry, Lyndon Johnson's administration, J. Edgar Hoover, listening on Martin Luther King's phone calls. And even the FBI agents even wrote notes to him saying he should commit suicide. They were going to give all this personal information. That's a fact. On up through Bush saying the NSA could just go around the law and listen on phone calls of certain individuals. So we can be silly, we can be naive, but the point is this. If they're going to do that, we have to hold them accountable to the Fourth Amendment. Otherwise, there is no such thing as rule of law, and that's the issue, rule of law. The Fourth Amendment is the rule of law to allow government agencies to take one step. As Madison said, James Madison, the first experiment with liberties, take alarm. They've gone way beyond that. And then the other thing I talked about is this idea of martial law. Chris Hedges, who a former New York Times war correspondent, wrote a really good article on the fact that he thinks we can move into martial law. Obama's chief intelligence agent testified several weeks before Congress that if there's a big upheaval over the economy, people get in the streets, there becomes an uproar, they may have to, you know, think about doing something about it. And the U.S. Army College, War College, issued a report in the fall saying they were ready to do martial law and get into the act of actually, and they mentioned economic stress as one of the factors that would trigger martial law. You're not talking about terrorists. You're talking about your average, ordinary person out in the streets or up in Washington, D.C. camping out.
Well, it's like what happened, was it in the 20s when the veterans came back after World War
One? Yeah,
in
the 30s. Yeah, the 30s.
They went unpaid, and then
they went unpaid, but
they
rounded,
just sent the army against
them.
The
army in and beat them up. Yes.
Yeah.
But and the Army Times reported, and most people should know this, it made a lot of publicity. There's at least 20,000 military troops now training in America to do police functions, roadblocks, tasering, and stuff like that. That violates federal law, the Posse Comitatus Act. So this and other things I talked about today, the audience, to be honest with you, was tuned in. It was good to hear people. And I also talked about the fact that when you deal with government, we can't assume government does things for a good purpose. They do things for a political purpose. That's the wrong presupposition. You know. And again, to quote Madison, he said we ought to mistrust all those in power.
Right, right.
Not that they're bad people. But as Lord Acton said, power corrupts.
As long as they have the power, it's our responsibility.
It's our responsibility.
Mistrust them and to be very suspicious and jealous of that power.
We the people. That's how the Constitution begins. It means we're the government. It's our job to hold them accountable. We're the ones supposed to be saying, you can't do that. You can't violate the Fourth Amendment, Mr. President or Mr. Senator or Mr. FBI man. You can't violate the First Amendment. You can't violate the Sixth Amendment. You can't put people away and not give them a lawyer, which is happening. Obama says he's going to do away with the term enemy combatant, and people sighed relief. But when they found out that he's going to keep the same standards in Afghanistan, they're going to lock people up without seeing a lawyer. They can't plead their case. That's got civil libertarians upset. So that's, you know, again, the power in our system of government is the people. People forget that. And if you're asleep at the wheel, then one morning you might wake up and you won't have a wheel. That's a problem. That's what we're facing. So it's my job to get out there and yell about it and get people fired up. I mean, I think these Tea Party protests are really neat. If people haven't heard about them, 40
what
cities.
What is this? What is it?
40 cities, people have said, we're going to be like the early patriots, throw tea in the water. They don't throw tea in the water, but they get on, they gather on the steps of their local city governments and scream and yell and say, we don't agree with what the federal government's doing with the stimulus package. We don't agree with our local governments. 100 people at a time, they're going to do a national one now, which is really, really neat. One lady in Franklin, Tennessee, has decided she's going to do a little different. She's bought like two big boxes of tea bags. She's wrapping the tea bags in little notes to President Obama and members of Congress. She sent them all a tea bag with a message of protest. That's the First Amendment. She has a right to petition our government for redress of grievances. She's being very creative. But
yeah.
So there's a lot of good signs. It's pockets of people out there fighting back.
We're talking with John Whitehead, the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. Taking your calls, comments, and questions for John. Join the conversation at 977-1070. I'm curious, do you agree? And if so, share your agreement. You got a question for John. It's 977-1070. A quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Before we go to the phones, I just learned that you have a very special announcement to make right here live on this program.
My wife, Carol, today is her birthday, and she's followed me around all these events when she should have been partying, and she didn't. So happy birthday, Carol.
Happy birthday, Carol. That's wonderful.
She deserves an award for having to live with me.
What are you doing to celebrate? You taking her out to dinner?
Taking her out to dinner, yeah.
There you go. Good stuff. Let's go to the phones, 977-1070. Bob has been waiting patiently on line one. Bob, you're on with John Whitehead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, in looking at the aspect that, you know, everyone bashed Bush for a lot of stuff he did, it doesn't seem like Obama is changing anything. And being an individual that lives within this community, I guess my fear is due to the fact that Charlottesville, by its nature, you know, really drinks the Obama Kool-Aid. If he sent down an edict, basically, I mean, and decided to put troops in the street, would there be any protests from the local government? They have a tendency to, you know, just go right along party lines as far as they go. I mean, that's kind of disturbing and frightening.
Yeah, I think the concern with and the martial law thing is very credible. I did a commentary. It's on our website at Rutherford.org where I talk about the elements that would go into something like that. Yeah, I think the way the news media does not get the news out anymore. I mean, how many more stories can you hear about the Octomom?
Yeah. Oh, please. And kill me.
they talk about the AIG crisis, and it goes to Octomom for 5 minutes. Yeah, so I don't know if you'll get the news. I don't think most people will know, and it will probably be spun. The other thing that bothers me about the media, and I think this is leading up to answering your question, is I hear these reporters say, this is from official sources. Well, what they're saying is the government is speaking to you through the reporter. And they're not going to give the source because they're getting the information from somebody high up in the government, but they're actually speaking to you through the and that's a good ploy for government to use. They get to spin their line at you. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that there is a resistance movement out there. I talked about the Tea Party protest. There's either today or tomorrow, I think there's this big war protest in Washington. It's the first one under the Obama administration. I think there are people out here who are active, and I think that a good example is Martin Luther King. He showed us that governments are not proactive, they're reactive, so you have to urge them. So I think as long as people stay awake, get your neighbors together in groups, people you know on the internet, read this little Bill of Rights pamphlet that the Rutherford Institute puts out, and know your rights, teach your kids it. I mean, children don't know anything about the Constitution. When they graduate from high school. And what I tell people is there's no reason why a kid in this country, when he graduates from eighth grade, he should know the Bill of Rights thoroughly and have the sufficient motivation to use them, but they don't. So you can teach your kids at home these things. It's up to you. You're the role model. Parents are the role models, grandparents, friends. But you can get together, get a list of people that you know. Form a committee, a committee for freedom. There's a lot of things you can do. You just have to be creative.
I understand what you're saying, but I really don't think you understand exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
And what disturbs me the most is, you know, I hope he succeeds because his success benefits all of us. But I do disagree with quite a few things with him, and I didn't vote for the man. But the problem, the thing I worry about the most is there are individuals out here that basically he can do no wrong, and whatever he comes down with, they will blindly follow it. And one of the things in the Charlottesville area that is disturbing is the city as a whole seems to, you know, get right in line with that drummer and march to that tune no matter what it is without thinking, all because that's what they feel, you know, they feel he's going to be the savior and do this, even if what he's doing is wrong. Will they blind, you know, my thing that worries me is they will blindly follow it and allow things to happen that go against the Constitution because of their belief. And, you know, representing the Bill of Rights and all these things, it's gotten so bad now within politics that it appears to be it's only brought up if it's your party that is against it at the time.
I agree with that.
Right now, it seems the Democratic Party is really having a good time with things, so they're not saying anything. But when the Republicans were in there, they used it as their moniker to protest everything.
That's why politics stinks, and you're right.
Most, yeah.
Obama's has a very strong aura. It's not only Charlottesville. I mean, there's a lot of communities around the country, that think that President Obama walks on water. But I guarantee you, folks, if he does that, watch out. If he walks on water, you know what happened to the last guy that did that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that you're right. I think, though, but there is a solution. Again, you can be proactive. You can get out there. When you don't agree with Obama, you can say it. I mean, and I still get people who, when I write commentaries, if I say something negative about Bush, they still think Bush walks on water. So, but politics doesn't work in this area. The Constitution is politically free of that. So, I agree with you. I think that with the news media and the way people are follow some leaders, it's very dangerous.
Bob, thank you for the call. It's an excellent point. We got a line open at 977-1070. Steve, hang with us. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. I want to pick up on the theme of what Bob is talking about and ask you a question. Personally, for me, what concerns me most is Americans these days are taught more to hate and demonize those who disagree with you politically than we are taught to love democracy and freedom and defend it. You see what I mean?
That's a failure.
They're so quick to want to hate other Americans when what we should be recognizing is, oh, wait a minute, we're in this same boat.
We need to work together. It's a failure of civics taught in schools. They don't teach kids democracy. They don't teach the roots. If you understood how radical the Founding Fathers were, nobody would sit on the sidelines. But they don't teach that. You realize those 56 guys, and there's just a few of them. There's only 56 of them that signed the Declaration of Independence. That was such a radical idea. That put them on the hit list of the government at that time.
Yeah.
Their lives were... That took a great, you know, just unbelievable stamina and faith to do such a thing. So,
yeah. I mean, these are people who overthrew the most powerful government in the world.
It started with 56 people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
they
were complete radicals.
You don't need a lot of folks. You just need dedicated people in every community across the country. These Tea Party protests are really neat, the lace in the tea bags. There are a lot of neat folks. My commentary that came out today is called It's Time to Join the Resistance. I detail a lot of these folks. There are folks out there doing it. Just join with them.
Yeah, yeah. And don't think that you got to go out in one day and change everything.
No.
What's going to happen is if enough people start banging on some plates, that's when you change stuff.
You know, the political thing goes nowhere. What I'm saying is co-belligerence for freedom, that's what we need to be. When you're in the foxhole and you're fighting for democracy and freedom, it doesn't matter what the guy besides you believes, he's shooting in the right direction, and that's the key.
Yeah, yeah. Steve is online, too. Steve, I got a couple of minutes. Go right ahead.
Yeah. That was sort of my point, is that it doesn't matter that we disagree as long as we are, as you say, shooting in the same direction, because, you know, this problem isn't new to Obama or to Bush or to Clinton or, I mean, this has been going on, you know, not to sound like some, you know, paranoid person as far as the government goes, but, I mean, yeah, we have had a history of not being able to trust our government.
Well, you know,
the right thing, and you know, it's easy for each party to go, oh, yeah, Bush, you know, he just tramples all over the Constitution. And, oh, yeah, you know, Clinton, Ruby Ridge, you know, it's not new. It's the same story over and over again.
We failed to listen to Dwight Eisenhower. 1961, his farewell address, he warned us, our freedoms and our money will be drained from us from the military-industrial complex. And we didn't listen then. And what he was talking about is the conglomerate forces joining with the government and basically, you know,
taking control of the government.
In the corporate
the budget,
media,
yeah.
All those things, which you really can't trust a lot of news you hear. I tell people, go read websites like Rutherford's and other websites that, you know, you may not agree, but at least we're going to push you to think.
Absolutely. John Whitehead. Steve, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. John Whitehead is the CEO and founder of the Rutherford Institute. His latest book, which is must reading for regular listeners to this program, is The Change Manifesto. You can get it online at rutherford.org. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.